Buy now, pay later feels like a cheat code, but most people don't realize it's still debt. By the end of the show, you're going to realize that short-term pleasure leads to long-term pain. Hello and welcome to the Happy Money Podcast. We are your hosts, Michael and Gino Barbaro. And today we're going to be discussing the buy now, pay later phenomenon that has just taken over this country. And we're going to discuss the benefits of it as well as the pain points. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Pops.
This was your idea. So I want you to kick off the show. And why were you inspired to talk about this topic?
So I was yesterday buying my espresso like I normally do once a month. I go through enough espresso for me to buy enough. And I saw the option, which was I can pay it now or I can pay it in 4 installment payments. Mm-hmm. We did a show on this topic or something like this maybe 6 months ago. And I thought it's interesting because it's such a widespread program. It's not just on a pair of shoes or on this or that. It's everything. It's food, it's drink, even cars and houses on a larger scale. It's just a larger scale of that, mm-hmm. right? And so it's interesting because the reason why this got popular in the first place is because it's super painless. There's no pain associated with clicking a button and saying, oh, I'll just pay for it later. It doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm. I was sitting in bed with your mother last night and we were watching a show on Hulu. And Mom and I, we go through shows. I finally found a pretty cool show. It's called The Memory of a Killer. Patrick Dempsey is a serial killer, and he's losing his mind. He's getting Alzheimer's early onset. It's a really cool show because he's an evil character, but you tend to like him. Now, why am I bringing up the show? Because as I'm sitting there, he's got the domestic side of him, which is just a geek, sort of like me. He's like a dad, got a kid and all, but then he's got this alter ego where he's a serial killer. And he's driving this Porsche Panamera.
It's a nice car.
This car is beautiful. And every time I look at it, I get the urge. I'm like, I want to buy that car.
Yeah.
And it's so incredible that as I'm sitting there, I know it. So as you're listening to this, what are the feelings you're getting when you're looking at a purchase and you're saying to yourself, should I buy it or is that financial suicide? Mm-hmm. And even this morning, before I jumped on the show, I had to do some research. I went online, I looked at the Porsche Panamera, and I said, if I want to buy this thing on payments, what would the payments be for an average Panamera 2025?
It's like $1,000
$2,700 a month. The car's 150 Gs, Mike. So it's $2,300 to $2,700 per month
down payment, big time
for that
payment?
Car with $7,000 up front down.
Okay.
So it makes me feel good. I like it. But that's short-term pleasure. Fortunately, if I was decided to buy it, I'd probably pay all cash. But even if I didn't, I'd have the asset to be able to pay for that. My properties are throwing cash flow every month. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. The worst part about this whole buy now, pay later for me is you become a consumer. Even before you get your paycheck, you're putting that money out to buy something. I want you and my children and anybody listening to this, I want them to be able to think to produce before they consume. And I want them also, secondly, as they get the urge to go look up Porsche Panamera, see what's going on in your body. See the emotions that are going on. See how you feel. I know it's short term. I know it's a dopamine hit. That's why I haven't bought it and I'm putting it off. And I've done this for the last 20 years of my life. Mike, went back in 2008 when we were struggling, couldn't afford a lot of payments. Mm-hmm. It was hard, but I had the urge. I wanted to buy a car.
Like a nice car, right?
Yeah.
We went to New Jersey.
Yes.
We drove like 3 hours to look at that Cayenne.
Yes.
And that guy was like, you guys want to get the upgraded tires? And you told me like $1,000 a tire. Like, what's wrong with this guy? You're going to pay $1,000 for a tire? Like, no, of course not. Meanwhile, I had to go spend $500 on my tires because, you know, that's how Audi works, I guess. Bunch of rats.
The point to that story, Michael, is I could have committed financial suicide at the time when I didn't have the money to say, well, I deserve a nice car. I deserve a new car. I didn't buy now and pay later. I actually got a hand-me-down car from my parents with no payments, nothing. And I forfeited car payments for the next 7 years. I was driving hand-me-down cars for the next 7 years because that's what I could afford. And that's what I want people to understand is it's hard. It's challenging to say, man, I deserve to drive a nice car, and we all deserve that. right? But at some point, you may have to sacrifice that feeling, that dopamine, that rush to say, you know what?
Is now the time. Right?
Yeah. I was doing it for a greater good. I was doing it for you guys. I was doing it for your stability and for the stability of the family. I wanted to be responsible. And I knew buy now, pay later back then was not going to work for me because I'd buy now and I wouldn't have the money. And every month, check would come in. I'd have to allocate a certain amount to the car. I'm like, if I can keep that money and not pay that money towards the car, I can save that money. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, saving that money, I was allowed to buy that first deal with Jake.
Yeah. I want to go back to the number on that Porsche, too. You said it was $2,400, right?
Yes. $2,400 a month.
Plus
$7,000 so up front.
Times 12 is $25,000 plus 7 is $32,000. Can you imagine saving $32,000 a year for a car?
It's incredible.
You can spend $60,000. You know what $60,000 can get you for a car nowadays? For a nice car?
It's incredible, isn't it? So if you start making those kinds of decisions, that's a rational decision. Why don't you share how you make that kind of decision? What do you do? I love the whole 48-hour thing where you're just pulling off and saying, and I've got to do this because I'm thinking about the car right now and I'm like, man, I love that car. He looks so cool in that car and I could see myself driving in that car. What do you do when you're confronted with that kind of situation?
So I noticed that if I have something I like in front of me, I get very emotional. And I'm like, oh, I really like you. Like you said, like, I really want this right now. But I have to ask if this is emotional, this is logical, right? Mm-hmm. Not even need or want, because you can have things you want. That's fine. But am I acting from a place of emotion? So I like to take 24 to 48 hours and then revisit it at a later time and see, did I really want that? Or was it just something that I saw in a movie or in a TV show that's just like, I want that now, right?
But what would you say to me? Like, I want the car now, but I can't afford it. That's the problem. Like, I still want it. I can't afford this $3,000 a month car payment. Like, what should I do? What's the solution for me? What should I be looking at?
Well, the question really comes down to is, are you going to be kicking yourself more than you're going to be enjoying the car, paying $3,000 a month? And so if you're going to be like every other day kicking yourself thinking, why did I love the car, but you know, I'm behind on payments, I'm trying to invest, but my money's going towards this car that's depreciating like nobody's business. That's the question is like, are you going to be regretting this decision maybe in a year or two? You might enjoy it for the first 6 months and you might not care. Which, again, that's totally reasonable because it's an awesome car.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know this is going to hurt you in the long term, in the future, maybe now is not the best time to pull the trigger and spend $3,000 on it.
That's why it's clear thinking. Like, you nailed it. Because sometimes, like, I just got emotional about thinking about the cars. If I can pull back and maybe sit down with my spouse and have a conversation and say, you know, should we be doing this? I think my wife would let me buy the Porsche. She let me buy
the first one. She's saying no. Oh, well. That was quick.
The words didn't even come out of my mouth, and she's already shooting me down. Yeah, okay. I honestly think she would let me. She would say, Gino, you know, you can have it because I'm being responsible because I would pay all. My whole idea would be I'm producing enough income to be paying for this car. If I can do that and it's not going to hurt my financial picture and it's not going to hurt my financial future, then I can do that. But your point is so spot on, because if you have it, that dopamine is going to wear off. Once you buy the car or once you buy the house or once you buy the diamond ring, it feels great for a couple of months. And then you have to go out and buy something else because that dopamine hit comes back. And just understanding that and being aware of that, you can start making decisions based not just on emotions, but based on being rational and being logical and saying, you know what, do I need to spend $150,000 in the car? What about $60,000 or $70,000?
Yeah.
And Michael, the thing that's worse and even more detrimental is if you follow this path every couple of years, you're buying a new car every couple of years and you're continuing it, buying a depreciating asset, trading it in, and it just never ends.
It's interesting you bring up dopamine. I had a firearm instructor once, and this guy you could clearly tell liked guns. And that was his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was showing us this new gun that he got, and I pick it up. I'm like, oh, this is really nice. It feels great. It's got a nice red dot. And we're about getting ready to shoot, and he goes, you know, it's a nice gun, but he goes, I've bought so many that I've lost that like childlike enjoyment you get, like that kid on Christmas that opens their Xbox for the first time. He's like, that's completely gone for me now. He's like, I buy a gun, and I'm just like, okay, I guess that's nice. And so that's what dopamine can lead to as well, is you've completely burned out your entire system, and you're just kind of left with this, okay, it's nice, I don't really care anymore, right?
Have you gotten to that point with your firearms yet?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I was worried for a second. What's on deck? Because we are talking about the last firearm we bought. We're thinking about buying, and that's why I was thinking about this the other day as well, because we want to buy our next gun. It's one of those things that I do. Yeah, remember we were talking about it? Maybe the AK. And I was having the same feeling. Like, I don't want to just buy a gun to buy a gun, and it's sitting there. We don't enjoy it. We don't look at it. We don't use it. So that's an awesome point that you make. Be careful that if you keep doing this, you may lose the joy of actually buying something and having fun. That's part of the whole experience, is to actually enjoy going out, looking for a car, driving around, just enjoying the experience. And if you keep doing it, you may kill that experience.
And that's part of why this buy now, pay later mentality is so dangerous. It's because you can have anything you want at any time, and there's no limit to how much you can buy, within reason, obviously, right?
Yes.
Because there's credit limits and that stuff. But there's no limit to what you can buy at any time, and you completely miss out on the joy of saving up. Hey, I made this money. I've saved up this money. Now I get to buy what I want. Mm-hmm. That's completely out the window. You can just have anything at any time. So it's like, where's the fun in that?
Yes.
Right? You've completely missed over delaying gratification.
I want to run through these four costs really quick, because I think this is so important. I think if you're considering buying something now and paying later, why is it ultimately become financial suicide? The first one, it increases spending. Absolutely increases spending, right? You're splitting up the payments, you're going there and you're buying something that you probably don't need today that you could probably wait. Number two, it hides your true monthly obligations. All of a sudden, you don't know what you're spending every month. You're buying something, but you don't really know the true cost. Number three, late fees, overdrafts, and stacking. That's huge. And the fourth one, Michael, it trains the habit of borrowing for wants, which you just said. You want to add anything to that or expand on any one of those? Pick one of those and just...
Let's go backwards. I like how it's we've written out about borrowing for wants. Again, the thing's not even yours right now, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even a big thing. I know that a lot of people do this with guitars. Guitar Center and Sweetwater, they do this thing where, again, it's you've got a $1,000 guitar, $1,500, and you can borrow it for 12 to 24 months. It's technically not yours. It's still theirs until you pay it off, right?
Yes.
And so it's like going to a library. And just take the book, and you got to bring it back, otherwise, you know. And so it's the idea of, like, it's not really yours, you know?
The whole idea of no interest, that isn't the point. It's almost when I hear Julia and, you know, sometimes the kids say, hey, there's no sales tax. We're saving money when we're buying more. So you buy more and you save more, but you're still spending more. Yeah, but you're saving, aren't you? Yeah, but you're still spending.
I see mom shaking her head. I actually did that to you recently because I sold you a gun and there was no sales tax on firearms. And I'm like, Dad, you're going to be saving some money. So I'm going to throw myself and you under the bus for that one.
But I got to pick on your mom. She's not here and she can't defend herself. But I remember every now and again going to the store and go, hey, if we buy this extra thing, we'll get something else. But you're paying more for it. It's the whole idea, the whole marketing genius of them having them feel like you're spending more money, but you're saving more when you're doing
it. Yes. If you've ever watched The Office, there's a scene there where there was some kind of contest and there was a booklet for savings and the whole prize is $15,000 of savings. And everyone's like, wow, it's a $15,000 prize. And the main accountant, Oscar, is like, you guys are idiots. You need to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to save this 15. And they're all like, shut up, Oscar. It's $15,000. And so it's that same kind of mentality. Like, you need to spend a lot of money in order to save, right?
Yes. During Christmas time, you know how much fun I have. I go out a couple weeks before. I'll take one of my daughters, Sophia, with me, and then I'll go shopping with another one. And I always stumble upon Tommy Bahamas. And I spend, you know, several hundred dollars into the thousands. I'm not going to lie to you. I truly enjoy it. It makes me feel really good because I'm a gift giver. I love to give gifts. But what Tommy Bahamas does is they're genius. They'll give you a $50 gift card if you spend $100 in the store. Right? But you only can do it after the holidays. So what did we do after the holidays in January? Did I really need the Tommy Bahamas? Not really, but I wanted it. And oh, by the way, they're giving you 50 off on every 100 you purchase. So you're there, nothing costs less than $100 there. So you got to spend $170 in a pair of jeans, but you get $50 off. But I just spent $120 on a pair of jeans that do I really need?
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about. If you can afford it, it's one thing. But it's another thing that if you're sitting there and going, I'm not sure if I have enough money, you know, coming in at the end of the month, I'm taking this money out of my savings. where for my financial future to buy a pair of jeans that I don't really need, but I'm saving $50. That's what we're talking about. Catch yourself and see if you really need it. Now, if you fall into that trap, don't even take the $50 gift card. Just throw it away. You know what I did? I stuffed that bad boy in my wallet. When I got home, I said, Jewel,
we're going back.
Here we go. And the crazy part is we didn't even have to go back into the store. She sat in the kitchen having tea, buying it. And she was, and it was awesome. I felt really good because I want the kids. I love the Tommy Bahama stuff. But it's one of those things where do you really need it? You have to understand, like, they're there to get your money. So if you're the only consumer, you're quickly going to go broke. Hopefully you're there where your mindset is, I'm producing this income and I'm using it for these purchases.
And so that's why this is important, is because the system is set up for people that don't pay attention. So if you're somebody who does not pay attention to your finances and you just click, 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 well, it's going to catch up to you at some point, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're somebody who's diligent, it's a little bit different. I still wouldn't recommend doing this if you have the money. It almost doesn't make sense, right?
Yes.
But this system is set up for people who do not really know how to look at their finances. And so you might have 10 subscriptions of clothes, food, whatever that is, and you might not even know about it. Mm-hmm. And that's how these people are getting so wealthy. Mm-hmm. They're really basing their system off of. That's why I mentioned this a while back ago. I was trying to cancel like a DoorDash subscription. It was painful. I couldn't find the button.
Yes.
And they set it up like that because it's like, if you can't figure it out, you're just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so if the system's set up that way, you know, maybe that's an indicator that we shouldn't be doing this system.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be another way, right?
Mm-hmm. And there is another way. There's a few things you've written here that you can do to avoid this buy now, pay later, or at least be aware of what's going on. The one is that 48-hour rule we talked about. You already mentioned. Sit down for 48 hours and let it sit. Let it marinate.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be amazed at how when your brain calms down and you can think clearly and rationally, it's like, oh, I don't really need the Porsche. It's not something that I really need right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can put it off. I guarantee you, if you're able to pull that away and say, let me think about it clearly, you're going to make a lot more financial decisions.
Very
yes.
Different.
I love the sinking fund. Having a clothes fund, having kid stuff fund, having a Tommy Bahamas fund. I like that because you're actually designated money for certain areas. And that's what we talked about mm-hmm. in one of our previous podcasts. Having you know a spending plan where you can divert your assets and divert your expenditures to a certain area. The next one, Michael, what's this one card rule?
So I don't have multiple cards, personal cards. Mm-hmm. I have one credit card and I have one debit card and a main checking account.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those where it's like if you have multiple cards floating around, you have multiple statements to check, and if you don't check your statements anyway, you've got five different cards, you don't know what's going where.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got one, you get one statement, you get to see everything that's there, there's nothing that can be really hidden, right?
Yes.
Because it's so easy if you have five or six credit cards to be like, oh, I checked four. It's probably enough. But then you're like, what about the fifth and the sixth mm-hmm. that I had?
Well, would you consider, let's say, getting a card for gas and for restaurants and then possibly one card for travel? Let's say because people want to stack up on points and they want to maximize their buying power. Mm-hmm. Would you consider doing that? Because it also helps credit scores. When you have more forms of credit out there, believe it or not, it actually does help your credit score.
It does help the credit, yeah. I think if the points is an interesting one because a lot of people will justify points by saying I'm getting 1%, 2% back. But what I'm noticing more and more, this is something that people got to watch out for, is that you'll see cash discount on a lot of these places now. A lot of people are doing this, which is a 2% to 3% convenience
yes.
fee.
Yes.
So your entire points kind of go out the window. And mm-hmm. so if you're going for the points for a credit card, just be aware that this is happening now and it kind of defeats the whole purpose of using credit for points.
That's so annoying. I really, really dislike that. It's just that we don't carry cash around. And
yes,
this may be the ultimate solution is if you have a spending problem, and this is where I agree with Dave Ramsey in the short term, if you do have a big spending problem, it may be wise to not cut up and throw away the credit cards because if you discontinue credit and close an account, I did this a couple months ago. I closed one of my accounts because it wasn't being used for the business. Mm. Well, that's a ding against your credit. It's really annoying. I didn't know that. So what you should do is maybe close them up, put them in an envelope, seal them away in your safe or put them away so you can't use them and just let them sit there so your credit won't get you know, hit. But at the same time, use cash for everything. And it's hard, but it will eliminate that feeling of I need to go out and spend money because this is the only amount that I spend.
That
and
if you're
able to use cash for everything, you'll be more diligent. You'll be more aware. And maybe that means getting rid of the apps on your phone. Don't have Amazon on your phone as an app because it's so easy to go on there and buy now. That one button, it's so beautiful, dude. When I want to buy a book, I don't know. My information's on there. The address is on there. The credit card. Buy now. Boom. $22 later, mom's complaining that I got another book coming at the house. It's so frictionless. It's so easy. But at the same time, you as the consumer needs to understand that's what the goal is with this buy now and pay later.
When you put distance between convenience and something, it completely changes the outcome.
Yes.
So there was a guy that I was watching recently on Instagram. Maybe it was a little while ago, but he was like, I want to practice my guitar more. And he's a big video game guy. And so what he did is he took out the batteries of his controller and he put one on the bottom of his house and he put one in a completely different room. And so if he wants to play a game now, he has to literally go get the batteries, put in the controller, probably find the extension cord for the console. And he goes, and I just put my guitar right next to the thing. And so he goes, it was so much easier to pick up the guitar and play the guitar rather than get the batteries, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's the same thing here. If you put distance between credit and yourself, between these one, buy one, you know, click now and buy something, you put distance between that and you put cash in front of you. Like, well, now I'm going to use the cash because it's here. So it's all about putting yourself in the situations where it's easier to use the things that are harder to use, if that makes sense.
Yes. It's a great point. Putting friction between buying now and paying later, making it difficult for yourself, thinking about it rationally, taking 48 hours to sit back and say, do I really want it? The goal is to avoid that short-term pleasure and not have that long-term pain. Thanks for tuning into the Happy Money Podcast. We're your hosts, Michael and Gino Barbaro, and we'll see you on next week's show.